Good evening. It's good to see everybody out this evening. And this evening's lesson will be coming from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And while you're turning there, this is a lesson that I normally would try out before we go to camp. And this is the lesson I had at camp. And that's what I'm going to preach on this evening. Is I can control my thoughts. I can control my thoughts. You know, we all have trouble controlling our thoughts in some aspects. You know, we've heard the thought, think before you speak. You know, we've heard that saying before. You know, what our thoughts, the only problem with our thoughts, they can turn into actions. Our thoughts can turn into actions. Thoughts can do plenty of damage. There's some good things that can come from our thoughts, though. There are some good things. And those good things, we're going to talk about a few of those good things in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Let's go ahead and read that verse. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So, where do our evil thoughts come from? Well, our evil thoughts come from Satan, and then our good thoughts come from God. You know, even in our prayer life, we can ask with wrong motives. We can ask with wrong motives, wrong thought process. And if you would, turn over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, let's start in verse 13. James chapter 3 and verse 13, kind of a lengthy reading here, but James chapter 4 and verse 3. James chapter 3 and verse 13, starting there. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Verse 18, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now let's go to chapter 4 there. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not ask because you ask with wrong motives. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You know, we need godly wisdom in our thoughts. Those are the thoughts that we need. We need godly wisdom in our thoughts. We don't want to be earthly in our thinking. You know, the jealousy, the selfish ambition, disorder, and every evil thing, those are the things that we do not want. We want wisdom from above. And that wisdom is pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. You know, can we be selfish in our thoughts? Yes, we can be. Sometimes we can be. Now, the first thing I want to talk about this evening is whatever is true. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, whatever is true. And this and this means that, you know, is God's word true? Yes, God's word is very true. Now, the only question is, does everyone in the world believe it is true? And probably not. More often, or sometimes, many people deny that it's truth. If the gospel is true, shouldn't we share it with others? Now, Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 tells us, may it never be. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. You know, is God's love for us true? Yes, His love for us is true. How do we know? Because He gave His only Son to die on the cross for our sins. John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Did Paul preach? Did he preach what was true? Yes, he did. He preached the truth. Question is, did he always speak what was true? And no, he didn't. He didn't speak. He persecuted the church at one time. And then Romans chapter 3 and verse 4b there, as it is written, that you may be justified in your own words, in your own words, and prevail when you are judged. Our words, we say, do they glorify God or do they glorify us? They need to be seasoned with salt. You know, God stays the same and he never changes. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 18, the Bible reads, "The wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward." Our reward in heaven is true. As long as we are found faithful. Our reward in heaven is true as long as we are found faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul knew this. Paul knew this, and this was at the end of his life. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." In verse 8, "In the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Paul knew that he had a true reward that awaited him. We must remain faithful to receive that award. Point number two this evening, what does it mean to be honorable? Well, it means great respect. It shows respect, to show respect. You know, a good question to ask ourselves is, what I'm doing bringing honor to God? Is what I'm doing honorable to God? Are we being pleasing to him? Are we doing thing that pleases self? Or are we showing honor to God in our thoughts and actions? Are we doing those things? You know, we all fall short of who we need to be. As Christians, it's our duty to edify and build up one another. Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. If you would, turn there. Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. And this is dealing with the Pharisee and the tax collector. Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. "Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector.' Verse 12, 'I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." We can see that the Pharisee, he bragged about what he had done. He even thanked God that he wasn't like the tax collector. And the tax collector, you know, we need to have the attitude that he had. You know, we talked about repenting for our sins this morning and confessing those things. And, you know, the tax collector, he was unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven over what he had done. He said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." You know, this is honorable, and it's the attitude that we should have over our shortcomings. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we read that many times, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Do we have trouble doing what is right? And sometimes we do. Many times we do things without thinking about what God wants us to do. Many times we do that. Is it easier to please God or please ourselves? Well, many times it's easier to please ourselves. You know, we become selfish people. You know, doing what is right should make us feel good. But sometimes when we are doing the right things, we may be standing alone. And that's not always a bad thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13 tells us, be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. We have to be strong. We have to be courageous and stand for the things that are right. Do we sometimes run from doing what's right? Sometimes we do. You know, we think about Jonah. Jonah did the same thing. Jonah ran. God let him see what he wanted him to do. Jonah tried to flee from what he needed to do, but we know that Jonah didn't get very far. And Jonah tried to flee, but God had other plans for him. God has plans for us. We must strive to do the will of God and not our own will. The next point I want to bring up is whatever is pure. Whatever is pure. Pure is genuine and undefiled. And is our thoughts pure all the time? You know, sometimes we aim to hurt people with our thoughts. We aim to hurt people with our thoughts. Is the mind of Christ pure? Yes, it was pure. Jesus did all the right things and he said all the right things. Do we have trouble doing that? And I believe sometimes we do. Are we afraid of what others might say about us? What kind of example are we showing? Or are we doing just what pleases us? You know, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How do we keep our hearts pure? How do we keep our hearts pure? Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. We need joy in our hearts. We need joy in our hearts. You know, we used to sing a song when I was a kid. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And, you know, and that has a lot of meaning to it. We need joy in our hearts. You know, are ones who are outside of Christ filled with joy? Are they filled with joy? They're not filled with godly joy. It's a worldly joy that they're filled with. You know, in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 26, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 26, the Bible reads, evil plans are an abomination to the Lord, but pleasant words are pure. You know, James talks about taming the tongue in James chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. And let's go ahead and turn there. James chapter 3. And let's look at verses 5 through 10. And I know James has been covered in classes on Sunday mornings, but let's go ahead in James chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Verse 7, for every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. And then verse 10, from the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. You know, have you ever had your feelings hurt by what someone had said? You know, it happens to all of us. Those kind of things have happened. And also, we've been on the receiving and the giving. We know what it feels like sometimes to have our feelings hurt. You know, the world will try to make you someone you're not if we all have good in us. Have you ever been the one to hurt someone else's feelings? And at the time, it probably didn't make us feel very good. We need to feed our mind good thoughts so goodness comes out and not say the hurtful things. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, the Bible reads, but speak the truth in love, We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So we grow up in all aspects. We are to speak the truth in love, but grow up in all aspects. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible reads, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that He will instruct him, but have the mind of Christ?" We are to have the mind of Christ. And then also in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we must realize we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. For we are, the Bible reads there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." How can we be His workmanship when we have evil thoughts? Our minds aren't pure. Also, the next thing I want to discuss is a good repute. We are to have good repute. You know, and this is talking about our good things being talked about us. You know, what is your reputation worth to God? What is your reputation worth to God? It's worth everything. What kind of name are we making for ourselves in our life? You know, our lives should emulate Jesus. It should emulate Christ. Are we being different from the world? Are we being different from the world? We are to dwell on these things in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. We must dwell on each of these things. You know, where does praise go? Praise goes to God. Praise and glory goes to God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible reads, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. So many times we can get wrapped up on things here on earth and not on heavenly things. We should be known as workers for the Lord. And we read that earlier in Ephesians 2:10, that we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. You know, others should see Christ in us in everything that we do. They should know that we are different from the world. People need to know that who we are and that God loves them. God loves them. And we must be willing to spread God's word or God's love in any way that we can. They see that. People need to know that we are kind and compassionate, that we care for them. Christ was known for these kinds of things everywhere He went. You know, Christ had a good reputation, but there were those who heard Him and knew of these things that He had done. There were people who had heard Him and seen Him, but decided not to follow His example. And the same is still going on today. You know, some may read their Bible, but they may decide to live the way they want to live without living a godly life. But that's a choice that they have to make. That's a choice we make. Others may not even know who God is or even what the Bible is either. You know, for us, there's much work to do. As Christians, there is much work to do. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, the Bible reads, "And He was saying to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest.'" You know, we need to put our trust in the Lord because He will provide. He will provide. It's so easy to rely on ourselves. You know, Jesus was still speaking or still teaching His disciples to trust in God. You know, He told them there in that section there to not even take money, not even take a money bag. He was wanting them to trust in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. "For we are God's fellow workers." Paul was talking to the Corinthians here, but it still applies to us as well. We are God's fellow workers. We are His fellow workers, and we should be looking for things that need to be done and find out what needs to, and find out services that we could be doing. the end of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. The end says to dwell on these things. To dwell on these things. It looks like, you know, we have a lot to think about here. Just in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, we have a lot to think about. You know, our life has meaning to God. It has meaning to God. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Verse 26. Watch the path of your feet established, and all your ways will be... Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. You know, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. The Spirit helps in our weaknesses. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. The Bible reads, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You know, sometimes we lose sight that the Holy Spirit works in us. That is the gift we receive when we are baptized. We should find confidence in that in everything that we do. We should find confidence in that. You know, it's up to us to stay away from the evil things of this world. It's up to us to stay away from the evil in this world, because it has a lot of evil to offer. There are many things that we should think about in Philippians 4:8. You know, we need to let us put some thought in the things that we do and not leave God out of our decisions. God wants to be at the center of our lives, and He should be. As long as He's the center of our lives, that's where He needs to be. We must challenge ourselves daily to have God in our lives and know that we can take our problems to Him anytime. And that's a privilege that we have, that we can take our problems to Him anytime. Do we really empty ourselves like Christ did? Do we really empty ourselves like Christ did? Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. The Bible reads, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We must empty ourselves. You know, He left us that example to follow, and we must empty ourselves as He did. Christ was definitely obedient to His death. So we too must do the same. And if we do that, we receive the crown of righteousness. We must keep our eyes fixed on the prize, which is heaven, as long as we are found obedient. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 tells us, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. You know, we need to have a vision for the church. You know, there are opportunities each week to encourage those who need encouragement, but we must seek out these things and find out what we need to be doing. You know, as Christians, there's plenty to do. There's much work to do. You know, we shouldn't sit back and wait for others to act. We need to take the initiative and see what needs to be done. And as we went through the list this morning on things that on our sick list and things that that are going on, there's so much that needs to be done in amongst our congregation and amongst the community. And the main thing is there are things that we should be doing. The lesson is yours this evening. If you haven't become a child of God and haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you're struggling in your life and need prayers of the church, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation.